We've taken the first entire month of this new year, and we got sidetracked from the main theme. We haven't even spoken about the theme yet. I'm going to get to that today, praise God. And our theme for the new year, well, the theme that we started with is fire it up. That wasn't the theme for the new year. That's the theme that God gave me, two or three messages in the new year. Fire it up. And then the last 2 weeks, I added another message to my Spirit of America series. But it's finally here. It's finally time to get. Well, I'm not used to holding a mic, and it just drives me nuts. But it's finally time to get into the theme of this new year. That theme, if you have a church calendar, you would know, is living in denial. If you don't have a church calendar, they are free to every family, one per family. You can see Mari at the office on the way out, and she'll give you our church calendar for 2021. But our theme is living in denial. This will not be a series of messages where I'm telling you to bury your head in the sand and just saying that what's happening in life isn't really happening. We're not talking about living in that denial, right? Oh, I live in denial. No, you can't live in denial. We're affected by this world. We have to live in this world. Even as Christians, we live in this world. So when I'm not asking you to put your head in the sand like an ostrich and just say, well, you know, it'll all go away if I don't know much about it. I think too many Christians have gone about life like that. And I think that many of them are starting to wake up. And in the end, at least I know this, they find out that they've missed out on some great things with their heads in the sand, even in our world as it is. I'm not going to talk about denying that you are sick and claiming that you are healed when you are sick and when you aren't feeling well and what the doctors have told you is wrong. No, we don't preach that at this church. We say those doctors are trained men and women. Now, some make mistakes. That's why they say they're practicing, right? They're trying their best. And sometimes they misdiagnose and sometimes their diagnoses aren't right. But what I'm saying is even in the midst of knowing that you have something, believing that Jesus will heal you, we will pray with you. And we have seen Jesus heal many things, cancers and all kinds of diseases in this church as we prayed for people. So praise God for that. So I'm not saying walk around and say, hey, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, and then dropping dead, right? That's not a good thing. It's not a good testimony of Jesus. So I'm not talking about that denial. I'm not talking about walking around a house that you want 13 times and saying, in the name of Jesus, it's mine. Even when you don't have a job or even when you can't pay for it, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. No. You know, that was an old teaching of the church. Way back when people got into this, they would call it positive faith, where if you claimed it, you named it and claimed it, you got it. And that's not biblical. That is not in the scriptures at all by any means. So just know that. I'm not talking about these things. But I think that the verses for the year make it very clear in what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to get out to you. And I'm not sure that it's going to be a popular series at the start just because of what you are about to read. When we read these verses, we're like, oh boy. But I guarantee that if you follow along with us through these verses, you're going to see some great things and be blessed at the end of this year. And speaking about being on fire for God, if you really paid attention through that series, though it wasn't my plan, God still brought that together with what we're going to talk about today, and it lined up with the theme for this year. In the Fire It Up series, we spoke about things like living in a greater faith and trusting God for greater things in your life. We talked about connecting our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit and living in a certain way that would keep the fire burning. And we spoke about having a personal altar to God in your life and going to that altar and having your personal time and your personal Bible reading, your personal prayer. And for all of those to happen, it will require that these verses for our theme of the year are taking place in our lives. So turn with me over to our verses for the new year, for the year of 2021, Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. And Lord, bless your word. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? This morning, let's put these verses into the context of Jesus' life at this moment and Jesus' teaching at this moment and to the men and women who were gathered with him. Jesus has just asked his disciples what the people were saying about him. And they say, well, some say you're Elijah and some say you're this prophet and some say you're that prophet. And then he says, but who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? What do you believe that I am? And Peter, under the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, lays down the foundation of the church today when he says, you are the Christ. you are the Son of God. When he says the Christ, this is what separates Jesus from every other Jesus that we know today, Jesus, right? This is what separates Jesus. It's not just Jesus, it's Jesus Christ, meaning the Savior, the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus then begins to speak to them after Peter comes out with this and Jesus affirms that this was of the Holy Spirit. Jesus then begins to speak to them about his death and his resurrection, that he's going to be leaving them, that he's going to have to go with the Father, that he's going to give his life for them, rise up again, and that he's going to have to be in the heaven with his Father again. To which this same Peter, who just marvelously, spiritually uttered out of his mouth things that no human heart could know, Peter says, Jesus, I will never let that happen to you. I'll fight for you. I'm never going to let you die. I'm never going to let you give your life. And Jesus has to rebuke him sharply and say to him, get thee behind me, Satan. This is all what's happening in these scriptures. So we have Jesus the Messiah, we have Jesus the Son of God, we have the Son of God who's going to give his life for his friends, and his friends missing the real meaning of what that power and that life meant and what was truly happening. So Jesus, like he was so good at doing, makes this a teaching moment. He says, if you are truly my followers, then you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. For whoever tries to keep this life, whoever tries to hold on to this life, will lose it. But he who gives this life away, not killing ourselves, not committing suicide, that's not what he's talking about. He who gives this life away, or in the context of this series, denies himself for following me, he says, will find his life. Listen to that. Will find his life. Will find her life. A tale of two lives. This is what I want to talk about today. This is as far as we're going to get today into this message, this series of messages. Jesus says, if they deny their life, they will find their life. And so my question is, well, was their life missing? According to Jesus, yes, it was missing. There was components of life, true life, that were missing from it. There were things that they did not know, things that they could not find on their own. So apparently, church, there is a life that we live, and there is a life that we're looking for. Can we say that from these scriptures? I think that's true. There is a life that we live, and there is a life that we are looking for. So let's look at these two lives. First, there is this life. This life that we're living today. This life, this fleshly life, this earthly life. I would call it the natural life. So we have this natural life, the one that we are born into, the one that we are born into when the doctor spanks us on the butt and we take our first breath, right? It's like, oh, life. It's good to be alive. It's our birthday, right? We all celebrate our birthday. Here's the problem, though. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Here's our problem with the natural life. The heart, the human heart, not this thing that's beating in our chest, the centrality of who we are, the meaning of who we are, our personality, our characteristics, the heart, the human heart, the center of man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, you've heard me say this before. When Adam and Eve chose to sin against God's word by taking that fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, it really had nothing to do with fruit. It was about a mindset that said, I want to be like God. I want to know things that only God knows. And that's why this fruit was called the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Man, Adam and Eve didn't know evil. They didn't know sin. They didn't know to think in certain ways that we think today. They didn't know that. And so Adam and Eve, they take of this fruit. All of a sudden, their eyes are open to good and bad. God never intended that. We were never supposed to know bad. And they sin. They come into sin because they eat this thing that means that now they want to be like God. When they did that, when they sinned against God's word, they propelled themselves and every human after them into a life of sin. And so we are born, whether you want to admit this or not, it's not always a peachy thing to admit, but every human being is born with a heart that is deceitful. Is that a word, deceitful? I think it is. We are born with a heart that is wicked, not this beating thing, not this muscle, the centrality of us, who we truly are, our inner being. Can we do nice things And can we do good things with that heart? Yes. Yes, we can from time to time. There are some people that do very good things in the world and don't have the spiritual life with Jesus. But our hearts are marred, church. Our hearts, the inside of us, are scarred by this sinful nature that Adam and Eve brought into the world. And if you want to see that sinful nature, you don't have to look far. Just watch a child from birth into the first 2 or 3 years, and you will see the human heart that I'm talking about today. You will see the sinfulness and the rebelliousness of mankind. Now, I get that some of that is because they can't fend for themselves. I get that. But even later on, when they fend for themselves, these things still happen. And so if you see the sinful nature, just look at the nature of a child from birth to about 3 years. What is it? I want, and so I'll cry, and I'll kick my feet, and I'll throw tantrums, and I'll do anything that I want to do to get my way. And unfortunately, adult brother and sister, it doesn't stop then, does it? Because some of us throw just as many tantrums and kick our feet in just as many different ways and do things that show that we're still tied to this sinful nature of mankind, this deceitful and wicked heart. We want to do everything according to the way that we want it done. I want to live my life according to the way that I want to live my life. And if I step on people or if I have to step over people to get there, then so be it, because I come first. See, that's all part of this sinful nature. And that causes us in this natural life to have a problem. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people, probably most people, love living the natural life. So come on. When you find yourself in places and things are going well and things are successful, we love living this natural life. We love it. Think about it. Why do we love living a natural life? Because it's what comes naturally. It's what we know. It's what we were born into. It's what we grew up around. It's what we experience each and every day as we grow up in our homes and in our households. No matter how bad your household was, no matter how good your household was, the fact of the matter is you still tend to live naturally. And so we live naturally, but we've already seen what comes naturally. What comes naturally is selfishness. What comes naturally is wickedness. What comes naturally is deceit. That's what the heart of man, or the center of man's being, is full with. And we know the other verses that say things like this. For instance, Matthew 12:34 tells us that out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Get this. Out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth speaks. And so a heart that is wicked, a heart that is deceitful, a heart that is selfish, a heart that is jealous is going to do what? It's going to say deceitful things. It's going to say jealous things. It's going to say arrogant things. And so we punish our children. We discipline them when those things happen. But we also have to realize, wait a minute, what do we really expect from them? Because that's the natural life they were born into. Now, hopefully, if they're born into Christian homes, they don't see those things. I'll tell you what, my boys have never, ever, ever heard this man say a curse word, ever. And I've done that, and even today, when they will use what would that language be? It would be what's it called when we come in line with the world? Not conform. When they use the conformed language of Christianity, oh, freak, it freaks me out. I'm like, yo, dude, no, you don't do that. That is not proper. We don't take God's name in vain. Yeah, but I'm saying this. No, we don't take God's name in vain. We don't do those things. Why? Well, not because we're just Christians, because we're Alberts as well. But Alberts are Christians, and Alberts don't do that. Christians don't do that. Now, I raised my kids like that. I'm not saying you had to raise your kids like that. What I'm giving you is an example. And now when they do say things that I don't necessarily agree with, my boys aren't out there cursing. So let me just clean that up, at least that I know of. Okay? Maybe they have two different languages, one around dad and one around, I don't believe that. But what I'm saying is this, they have taken some liberties in their life as men now who don't live in my home that there's nothing I can do much about, but I still get the word in there once in a while. That's not right. We shouldn't do that. You know what I'm talking about. And so that's where I'm getting at. I'm off my notes. This is what comes naturally. And so the verse says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The word abundance there is the Greek word, and you know I butcher my Greek and my Hebrew, so I'm sorry. If you know these languages, I'm going to butcher them up. But the Greek word there is perisioma, perisioma. And here it is used, in the way that it's used here, it means that which fills the heart. So when we talk about the abundance, we're talking about that which fills the heart. It could also be used to mean a residue in the scriptures. A residue, something that remains, or as I see it, that which is left over in our hearts from our sinful and broken nature. Does that make sense? So when we talk about the abundance of the heart, we say there is a residue. There is something left over from that life before Christ that affects our hearts, that affects sin. There is an abundance in our hearts of the sinful man, of the sinful nature that is there. So basically, what it's saying here is that out of that which the heart is full of, which is a result of being sinful, our mouth speaks. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard your mouth speak in situations. Have you ever listened to what your mouth, what your heart is saying? Because whatever you let out of your mouth is coming out of your heart. That's truly who you are. That's truly what you believe. That's truly what you have allowed into your life. I've taken this verse and I've said it like this because I believe that we're not changing the meaning at all. Out of the abundance of the heart, the feet go. You see, we go to places that maybe we shouldn't be, but it's okay in our hearts because out of the abundance of a heart that's totally not turned over to God, we make and justify, oh, it's okay to be there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the hands touch. Oh, I'm okay to do this. Yeah, I know God says we shouldn't do it, but I'm okay to do it. See, what's coming out is the abundance of your heart, what's really in your heart, what's really in your life. And out of the abundance of the heart, guess what else? The eyes look at. Out of the abundance of the heart, we know that it's not right. We know that it's wrong. And men, I speak to us because for some reason, God hasn't created women like this, but he has created men, that it's through the eyes that we are moved, that we are aroused, that things take place in our lives. And so we need to be very, very careful in what we allow our eyes to see and what we allow our eyes to look at. Because out of the abundance of the heart, that is taking place. And we could say, no, that's not me. That's not, oh, I just need that. I just, what if you, it's in your heart. It's in your heart. That's the abundance of the stuff that is in your heart. It's all true. And it doesn't change the meaning of the verse, those things that I shared. So what God's word is telling us is this. Let me just get to the bottom of this. What God's word is telling us is this. Try as you might and do what you do. And there are some good people doing some good things, as I've already said. But you'll never get away from the effect of sin over mankind. Got that? That's the natural life. You'll never get over it. And it might look different from life to life. My sin might look, my brokenness might look different than Pablo's brokenness. Pablo's brokenness might look different than Taisha's brokenness. Taisha's brokenness might look different than Beth, and Beth might look different than Sue. But the same, it's working in our lives. The abundance of the heart is coming out in our lives. The scriptures also speak about this, just laying groundwork for the series of messages. The scriptures also speak about this by talking about trees. Matthew chapter 7, just a few chapters back. Verses 17 to 20. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, listen to this, verse 20, you might want to underline it, circle it, highlight it. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. What is that saying to us? It's saying this. Again, naturally, you can only demonstrate the fruit in your life that comes from what kind of a tree you are and what kind of a root you have. So humanly speaking, what kind of life you are living. For instance, if I want an orange, and I just need to tear into a nice juicy orange. If I want that, right, am I going to walk through a blueberry field to find an orange? No. And if I do, I'm going to be very sad because I'm not going to find an orange on a blueberry tree. Why? Because blueberries breed blueberries, right? Blueberries have blueberries. Now, if I want an orange, am I going to look for a lemon tree? A little closer, but no. and vice versa. Nothing's going to happen. Why? Because blueberry trees only bear blueberries, lemon trees only bear lemons, and orange trees only bear oranges. Now, man, in wanting to be God, has taken these fruits and we've done things with them and messed them up a little bit. But I want you to know, the Bible says that God created the earth. It says that he created every fruit tree to yield that fruit. So no matter what man has done in the lab trying to be God, we'll never outdo God. Okay, we may mix fruits and make fruits and do things and change things. But guess what? A blueberry tree still only brings a blueberry. An orange tree only brings an orange. And a lemon tree only brings a lemon. And anything else is perverted and messed up by man. They do taste good, some of those fruits that they've come up with. But it's all building on what God has done. They haven't created anything new. Brothers and sisters, I said all of that to say this. You can try. I know I'm repeating myself, but I need to get this down to go where we're going. You can try as hard as you like, and you might even be showing some signs of success in changing your life. But the apple tree will only always produce apples. And listen to this. We hate this, but it's so true. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Do you hear what I'm saying? I love my mom and dad. I think they raised us good, terrific. But I always said, I'm not going to be like my parents. And my wife looks at me and says, you are just like your father. And I'm like, you know what? That is so true. So my sons, I'll say, hey, you know, Kim and I, you know, we go out for date night every Tuesday, but we got a plan. I have found Chili's. Have you found Chili's? Chili's has a great meal, 2 for $25. You go there, you get an hors d'oeuvre appetizer, you get two good meals, you get all the chips you can eat, because if you have the app at Chili's, you don't have to pay for chips. Did you know that? Get the app. The chips and salsa are always free, as much as you want. And they send a bag of chips home with you. They have to. So, great deal. Get the app, though. It's the only way the chips are free. Okay? And then you get a dessert, and we get that chocolate chip cookie that just came out of the oven with the ice cream on it. And they give me enough ice cream for the chocolate, so it really works out well. Great deal. Just like my father. Where would my father go? Where the best deals were. Where would he go? Where he could get a stomach full of food for a good price. And so my kids, I'll tell them, hey, can we go to Chili's if we visit them? Can we go to Chili's? Dad, you're just like your father. We just want to go here or there. Okay, let's go. I don't care. But you see what I'm saying? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And what will happen, listen, is you will just live a life the way that life just is. Let me say that again, because that's important that you get that. If we're just focused on the natural, if we're just feeding life from the natural, then we will just live a life according to just the way life is. Does that make sense? Because it's natural. And I also want you to know that this is not the life that God intended for us to live. No matter how good you think that you have been in it, no matter how good you think that you are doing in it, what you are experiencing is always going to be a step below what God has created us for. And so if we go back to our verses for the year, if you're willing to give up this life, this is what it says. If you're willing to give up this life, if you're willing to die to it, if you're willing to deny it, if you're willing to walk away from it, then you will find real life. Second point, and I'll end with this, the spiritual life. The tale of two lives. I see it snowing out there. I know some of you are probably getting a little nervous. The spiritual life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 46 to 49. Listen to what Paul says. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, if you know anything about 1 Corinthians 15, it's the verses that I speak at every funeral. Because Paul is talking about death and the afterlife here. The Corinthian church had questions for the Apostle Paul. What is life after death? What does life in heaven look like? What are these heavenly bodies that you talk about that we're not going to raise up with this body, but we're going to raise up with a spiritual body? How does all of this work? What does it look like? And so Paul takes 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter, and he talks about it, and he discusses it. This is what the afterlife looks like. And so he's teaching people to understand what happens when a loved one dies. Where do they go? What happens in their lives? What happens to their body? What happens to in their spiritual body? What happens in heaven? Where do they go? What do they look like? How does that process work? This is what Paul's teaching. And so he says, the natural comes first and then the spiritual. The spiritual is always after the natural. Now he's referring to our transportation from this earthly house to our spiritual house. He's saying the natural comes first, and then after the natural is laid down, we have a spiritual house. And he also talks about leaving this earthly tent to move into our spiritual home. So we get that. We get what he's saying. But I want you to know that this is a process that starts on this earth first. Because you can't move into your spiritual home if you're not living a spiritual life in the natural. Okay? That's where we're going with this. We are never born into our spiritual life first. For every one of us was born in the natural. Every one of us have a mother. Whether we know her or not, we have a mother. Even Jesus was born into the natural because Jesus had to be born into the flesh to die for the flesh, to cover our sin. But Jesus is one step further because he doesn't have an earthly father. What was done with him was of the Holy Spirit. But even Jesus was born in the natural. And yet God has given us, listen, this should excite us. God has given us a chance to find in this natural life, in this broken life, in this sinful life, God has given us a chance to look for and to find a spiritual life this side of heaven if we will choose to look for it and if we will choose to seek it out. He says, remember, if you will seek me, you will find me. If you will knock, the door will be opened. All we have to do is be hungry enough to want it. All we have to do is be hungry enough to go after it. Jesus already made it possible. But the fact is this: will you live what you're living now in denial? Or what I'm saying is, will you die to this natural life? Will you give up your own ambitions? Will you give up to your selfish desires? Will you give up to the things that are haunting you, those things that are driving you, those things that are impacting your life? Will you give those things up to say, Jesus, I want what you want for me. I want what you have for me. You'll have to do that. Brother Dennis Shear is going to be with us in just about a month. He's going to be with us on Sunday, March 14th. Both services. We're going to have a Sunday night service. The Lord has given him, I've been speaking with him on the phone, the Lord has given him a great proclamation to some churches this year. Why I say some is Dennis is not going to share those things with every church. Not every church can receive it. And he will only be speaking that word in varying degrees as he senses from the body, as they're feeding back to him. So he might speak one thing at one church, but be able to expound on it more at another church, because he says, I'm looking for the reception of God's word and the people's hearts to find out if I can go the full depth of what God's given to me. I believe that when he comes here, that he's going to, because of what God's working in our hearts already, that he's going to be able to go into the full depth of this truth and speak this to us. And what he wants to speak about is being born again, what it really means to be a child of God, what it really means to be a kingdom person, to be born again. And so I'm excited about his coming. So let's get into this. The spiritual life. Number one, this life is only found in Christ. And don't worry, there's not going to be 25 points. Three things I want to show you today. This life is only found in Christ, the spiritual life. We see here from these scriptures that we have two atoms that have come to this earth. One was of dust and turned back to dust. That's Adam, right? Adam and Eve, Eve's husband. One was dust, turned back to dust. This Adam brought sin to all mankind. This Adam died because of that sin, and he returned back to dust. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And because of this, all mankind, me and you, this body will turn to dust. The other Adam, these scriptures tell us, was from heaven. Guess who it is? Jesus Christ. This other Adam was from heaven. This Adam brought freedom from sin to all mankind. First Adam brings sin. Second Adam frees us from sin. This Adam, even though he died, did not suffer the effects of death, and rose again and returned to heaven. He came from heaven, he returns to heaven, and is living in heaven today at the right hand of the Father. And because of this, listen, all mankind can know everlasting life free from sin. That's the difference between the natural and the spiritual. Number two, this life can only be lived out through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the life giver. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, which is the Holy Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let me read that again. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, this should excite you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We used to sing a song way back when in the church. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The church would get all excited. They'd be clapping. They'd be dancing around because the same Spirit dwells in me. Amen? I want you to see what happened on that Easter morning so long ago. This is why Easter is important. Jesus was very much dead. He had bled out. He had lost so much blood that the doctors are still amazed when they look at that report that he was able to function and go to the cross. His heart was broken. I don't know what a broken heart is. I don't understand it totally. It was broken because he loved us so much, but physically there was something, his heart exploded or something happened. I don't understand it. I'm not a doctor. I've never stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. So his heart was broken. We know that because when they pierced his side, blood and water poured out. They didn't have to break his legs, as was prophesied. Not a bone would be broken, because on the cross, if you know anything, what they would do is break the legs after a few hours so that that person could no longer push up to catch breath and they would die of suffocation. That's how the cross killed people. But when they went to break Jesus's legs, because the prophet had said hundreds of years before that not a bone on his body would be broken, they pierce his side because the soldier says, no, he's already dead. So, show me, I need to know. So they pierce his side and blood and water pours out. And apparently that's a sign of a heart that medical people would know what I'm talking about. And if you don't understand that like me, if you go online and you Google a medical doctor's report of what Jesus went through, it's amazing when these medical doctors give reviews of what Jesus' body went through that day for me and you. You'll understand it a little better. So I want you to know, Jesus was dead. His body was cold on that stone slab, okay, in that garden tomb. But when the time came, when the Father said, enough is enough, the Holy Spirit comes back to earth, causes his flesh to reanimate, warmth to come back to his body, the blood begins to flow, the heart begins to beat, the broken heart that apparently, whatever happened, comes back together, begins to beat, the lungs begin to breathe, and Jesus is alive. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 16:10 says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in hell or the grave, nor will you allow your body, your Holy One, to see corruption. So it was prophesied that Jesus' body would not see decay. What happened on that Easter morning is important to us, church, online and here. It's important to us because it is what happens to us twice. Our spirit is resurrected by the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord. You see, your spirit's dead if you don't know Jesus. It's dead because of sin. You no longer have relationship with God. You're cast out because of sin. But it is the Holy Spirit that gives life. It is the Holy Spirit that reanimates the spirit of the flesh. And so his spirit is life. He is the one who breathed over Adam, this Holy Spirit. And living man becomes a being. He is also the Holy Spirit that Jesus, after he comes out of the grave, he sees his disciples. He breathes on them just like God breathed on Adam. Says, receive the Spirit. And we know that 50 days later, they received the Holy Spirit and their lives were never the same. Amen? 50 days later, they are new. 50 days later, these 12 men, these 70 men, or these 70 disciples, they're new. They see things differently. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in each and every one of us today. In this mortal life, in this natural life, God wants to bring life. Amen? And so we think we're living it to the fullness. We think, man, we're doing well. I'm successful. Look what I've done. Look what I've been able to do. Maybe some of us don't feel that way. Man, I'm broken. God, I'm never going to be anything. People told me this, and now I've lived up to it. Case is, this is not life. This is natural. This is what we're born into. This is not what we're supposed to live. But this changes everything. And so the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that means not just when we go to heaven, Not just when this flesh lays down. If he dwells with you, he will quicken your mortal body. Mortal body means while your natural body is still alive. He will quicken you. He brings our spirit to life. That which was dead with Christ, he brings back to life. We become his sons. We become his daughters. We are now called sons and daughters of the living God. He gives us the ability to live life like it was meant to be. He gives us a fulfilled life. He gives us a rich life. Not that we're going to have buku bucks of dollars coming out of our pockets. Rich life is something that is spiritual. It's the blessings of God upon our lives. He gives us an empowered life. He gives us a led life. In other words, a life that is led by the power of his Holy Spirit, a life that will lead us and guide us and teach us and take us to the things that God wants for us. Amen? The Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. This means he will do things in this body while we are living in earth. It means that he will heal us. Think about this. I want you to see this. There's somebody that needs to hear this today. Sickness many times can lead to death. Sickness is an absence of health in the body. When a body is sick, it can never really live full life. Now, maybe that's just a cold. Maybe that's the flu. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's something that's terminal. No matter what, when there's sickness in the body is not living full life. But this Holy Spirit, who wants to bring life to our mortal bodies, is the same Holy Spirit who can heal us of our sicknesses and bring life back. Greek word. You got to do Greek because the New Testament's in Greek. The Greek word there for give life, I'm not going to say it because you know I'll butcher it. The Greek word there for give life means to make alive, to give life by spiritual power, to invigorate or to increase life. And that's what this Holy Spirit does in our now, in our present, in our natural life. He enables us to live spiritually. We can now be a child of God in a natural body. Amen? Because if not, we have no hope until we die to make God happy. But now he can quicken our mortal body. He can quicken our natural body. He can give us life. And so he gives us life, hallelujah. He enables us to live spiritually. He enables us, listen to this, he enables us to experience heaven this side of heaven. Now, it doesn't mean heaven's coming to earth. I don't believe that. I know there's a teaching that says kingdom now, that we as God's people, we set up the kingdom on earth. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that Jesus will set the kingdom up on earth. But praise God, when I go through my daily life and work and I'm in the school, when I'm doing things with you from the church, when I'm just out with my wife and I'm on my motorcycle, when we're doing what we're doing, when Pablo's out on the boat, when you're doing what you're doing, whatever you do, when you're doing it, there's a taste of heaven in your life. There's a touch of heaven upon your heart. Because of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so this is what happens. He gives us the ability to experience life and the power of God. He gives us the ability to be healthy, not only to our sick bodies, but to our sinful hearts, to our depraved minds. Pastor, my mind is not depraved. Well, that's what God says. God says, if they're not going to serve me, then I'm going to turn them over to their depraved minds. And I don't know, but when I see the world we live in, I see a lot of depravity. Listen, he brings life to our failures, and he brings life to the chaos of our lives. That's what this spiritual life is all about. That's what this life, that's this life that you can find today. That's this life that you can live today. So let me close. It's about the natural, and it's what brings us into the fellowship with God again. It's about the spiritual, the natural meeting. It replaces that which was surrendered and that which was lost through Adam's sin. Do you want that today? Do you want that today, church? Do you need that today? I do. Do you want that online today? You need it. We need it. Then listen, you must live in denial. And we're going to take the next weeks and we're going to break this down and speak about it and talk about it, what it means. It's our theme for the year, so it'll carry on into December. So stay tuned. But I want to pray today. And I want to give us all, online and in the house, a chance to respond to God's message, because I believe that it'll touch our hearts today if we allow it to. And here's what I want to pray. I want to pray for us to be able to live through the power of the Holy Spirit a life that is pleasing to God, a life that is honorable to God. Parents, if you're sending your kids to youth, I want you to know this, and I apologize. I should have let you know that this before this Friday. I'm speaking about sexual things. Don't worry, we're not getting into those things. But what I'm speaking to them about is have honoring God with their lives and with their bodies. And listen, trust me, you want them to hear this in church. A lot of churches won't even touch this subject. I believe that we cannot not touch it, because I know what's being taught in the schools, and I know what the word is in the locker rooms, and they're not getting the truth. They need to get what God says about it. So please don't keep them home. We're not going to go into detail. Listen, it's going to be a lot more milder than what they're getting in their health class right now. But I am going to bring about that God wants you to serve him and desire to serve him with your body. And that doing that means we have to have sexual integrity. That's a word we talked about this past Friday. And give our lives to Christ. And I bring that up to bring this thought up. We need that in our lives today. We need to have integrity. We need to be people that are seeking to honor God with every area of our lives.